Hello, you're listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me are Ian McNally and Julian Yap. And it's the return of our Malaysia Movie Week, where Ian and Julian interview director Nadia Hamza and producers Mohammad Bahe and Farah Al-Amin to talk about their new film Motif. Here we go.
Budak perempuan tu macam bawa BSPM. Dia boleh carikan aku.
Orang kat sini, orang tak suka orang jaga tepi kain dia orang. Dia boleh lagi orang luar.
Apa yang saya tak tahu?
Kau ingat kita orang polis kat sini tak reti buat kerja?
Kalau bos tahu, aku tak nak Husin dapat satu sen.
Pening kepala makcik. Leban ayam makcik dibakar.
Tuhan tu, kalau dia nak balas pada orang yang mengenai ni, bila-bila masa pun dia boleh balas.
Kau bagi tahu aku cakap. Mengaku!
Saya nak kita Husin lah.
Dah ada duit, kau boleh buat apa saja, kan?
So we're now joined by director Nadia Hamza and producers Mohammad Bahir and Farah Al-Amin to talk about their new film, Motif. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the movie's about for our listeners to start?
Okay. Motif is a film about the disappearance of Anna, a teenager in a fictional town called Tanah Merah. And a female police inspector is sent to the town from KL to investigate and facilitate another police officer called Inspector Rizal to help investigate the case. Yeah, and she ruffles some feathers in the town, especially the main man of the town, Husin, who is played by Rosham Noor, and Inspector Dewi is played by Sharif Amani.
So what was it about this story that was like the push that you wanted to make your next movie, to be your next movie?
Okay, back in 2014, I think we were down with, we had this script called Jupiter that we really wanted to make. Mm-hmm. It's a sci-fi film, big, major blockbuster style with the exploding planet, and then just nobody wanted to fund it. Oh. So we thought, okay, let's do something smaller. Let's write a bunch of script. And this one kind of like, the one that had the most, it was the most exciting for us because of the whole social issues that it covered. But at the same time, it was a genre that we were obsessed with at that time. It was like that we were watching The Killing and The Bridge and La Revenant from the France, which is like all this Nordic noir. Mm-hmm. And we were in front of a computer pretty much, you know. We were there 12 hours a day just consuming this episode. So, let's do this.
Yeah. Now, and actually, now you've mentioned all those, it makes a lot more sense to when watching the movie. It's like, that's what they're looking for. Because you can see a lot of influences. I do have to ask as well, like, you have, you know, your main investigators from out of town. They're constantly talking to someone who's off screen. There's an awful lot of overhead shots of the car driving through the woods. Are you big fans of Twin Peaks?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it.
You picked it up. Like, Twin Peaks, Top of the Lake. What else? Like, yeah.
The only thing that we couldn't fit in was, like, the coffee and donut.
Oh, really?
Like, okay, the Malaysians don't eat donut that much. So, no.
You couldn't get kueh at the mama.
No.
Oh, we did have curry puff.
But we had curry puff. Sardine curry puff at the police station. That's the Malaysian version of, like, donuts.
Yeah.
So once you had your script together, how did you then go about assembling your cast and getting the funding to actually make it?
Well, I mean, Sharif Amani was always the one that we kind of like desired because of her size. And then going with the whole Nordic noir style, it's like, it's always a flawed character. Somebody who's like completely unreliable narrator in this film. So Sharif Amani in her frail body, but she's also this woman who's like complete badass. She can go knocking on people's door and just mm-hmm. get whatever she wants, right? So that's Sharif Amani. And then after that, we kind of need somebody who's gonna be overpowering her. And Rosham Noor is like, you know, this gigantic character. Even in Malaysian cinema, it's like, when you say Rosham Noor, it's like,
they're scared because he's like the gangster.
Yeah. Even when we went to meet him at his office, we're shaking. Like, you know, we're talking to like Rosham Noor here. So yeah, once those two come in, and I think the rest kind of like fit into place.
Hmm.
financing was long and hard.
Yeah, it was at the end of 2014. We went around. We didn't have a full script then, but we went shopping the script around to like major studios, and they were all telling us that, you know, this genre is really hard to sell. Why do you even want to do it? We're like, but we want to try. And even at that time, Sharif Ahmadi was attached. But I think somewhere in 2016, we met with Awestruck Media, which is Farah, Adam and Honey, and they came on board and we secured financing then in 2016.
So at that point, when we met Mo and Nadia, the three of us, me and my two partners, we just started this little company. And our main thing was, okay, let's start making good stories. Mm-hmm. Let's find good stories and potentially give platform to independent filmmakers who might not necessarily get the kind of funding that they need. I've actually known Nadia a little bit before then. Like, I've known of her from her first thesis film in 2011. So when I saw the script, that was the first script that I saw, when my partner was like, okay, we're doing this, and I saw Motive, Wayang Works, and Nadia, I was immediately like, that was the main encouragement for me to have a look at it. And then when we read it, it felt very believable. Like, we could immediately picture the story. Like, yeah. You could see what it was going to be like and the vision. But at that point, it was still very early. We only had Sharif Ahmadi, I think, confirmed. Roshan wasn't even confirmed. So that was like one of the first few drafts of the script. It went through a lot of drafts after that and a lot of different processes from then on. But I would think after seeing the final product, I think this was one of the best decisions to make.
So based off of that, you know, going, I guess from early on, how early was it that you knew it was going to be a detective story and investigative kind of story, but set in a small town? Because I think for us, that was the most refreshing thing. We've never seen a detective story set in a small town. Like, what drew you to Tanah Merah? Was that something that came in later?
I think from the get-go, it was going to be set in a small town, in a small hilly town, because we really wanted to stay true to this Nordic noir genre. So even before the script was finished, it was already from the get-go that we knew we wanted it to be that way. Yeah, in 2014. Mm.
There is a social thread running through it that I don't want to spoil for our listeners. Was that ever thought of as maybe being controversial in any way? Or did you think it was something you'd have to take out? Or are you just like, this is always part of the story you wanted to tell?
I think it's always been part of the story, but we didn't want it to come at the forefront. Mm. We wanted the murder mystery story to be like the center of attention and this social issue just sort of in the background looming. So if you catch it and you get it, what we're trying to say or what our opinions are about it, then you'll catch it. Mm. But we hope that when you watch it, it's really about like getting engaged to the story. But if you feel something about that social issue, then I feel that our goals have been achieved.
But I also think when you first read the script, that was one of the most interesting element about how it is. You think you're reading a complete murder mystery, and I'm assuming obviously when you start something like that, there will be a backstory to the girl. But when that particular issue was, we looked into it a lot more. I think it came out just nice. Like it was not too in your face.
Yeah, it adds
but
a
it's
real,
a very relevant.
It's story. A nice depth to it because it's like, when people see it, there's a little bit on the radio at the beginning that kind of stuck out and was like, oh, it's interesting, but then like you don't think about it and it subtly kind of creeps up on you as the movie goes on. And I think it adds a nice depth to a film that a lot of times you don't get that. Making a movie about the police in Malaysia and having a hotel that's, you know, of ill repute, and you know, making crime movies in Malaysia can be difficult. Was it hard to, did you need to get sign off from the police, and was it hard to get all that done, and did you have to change anything along the way?
Actually, the police was really helpful with this project, and yeah, because like we met them a few times and we wanted to be sure that everything that we portrayed is real, because Nadia really wanted to portray PDRM. We didn't want to make it like, you know, federal police or whatever, you know. So we went and see them, and we even got a consultant who is a Inspector Roslan is a retired inspector who helped us with the script, and he made sure that everything is right down to the T. And the police, and once we showed this edit, they were pretty happy, even though, I mean, they admitted there are some grey areas even in the force, and they say there are some flaws and they want to address that, but they cannot say, you know, there are certain things that we have to change, and we change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my favourite parts of
the script and just the story in general is just how you wove in bits of, I guess, sexism in the workplace, being a woman in a very hostile environment, like a very male-dominated police station, I guess. Was that something that you wanted to explore right from the get-go? Was it something that was important to you?
I think as a female creative, it's something that I'm always fighting for, like, especially in film, like better characters for females in general. I mean, if we all know that in Malaysia itself, in the local scene, like, our female characters are either like damsels in distress or like a girl who marries a rapist and just stuff like that. So I think from the conceptualization stage, Mo especially, he was like, okay, we gotta write this story, and the female, it's a flawed female character, but it has to be a strong female character. And I think all of that, like, you know, the different things that she faces as a female in her workplace, among the people in the town, that all kind of just came naturally. But I'm really, really happy that, you know, like, that her character, Dewi's character, came across as somebody who's powerful. And, you know, despite all the odds, she perseveres. Yep.
There's a confrontation scene in an interrogation room where she has no problem going in and facing up against someone twice her size.
Yeah.
And it's great to see Sharif Mahani do that, because an awful lot of the time she's playing more slight, or even recently I think she was playing teenagers in flashbacks again. It's great to have it at the beginning that she's actually saying, like, I'm older than you think.
Yep.
So a little bird told me that there might have been more to the Rizal and Dewi relationship than was on screen. Did the story change a lot once you kind of got to the shooting stage? I know you make a movie when you write it, when you shoot it, when you edit it. Was the editing process hard, or was it just like certain things just fell by the wayside?
It's a process. I mean, I think, you know, when we got the first draft of the script, it was like something even completely different. We went to shoot the script, even on shoot day, we start changing things. But the editing process, I think it was more of a, it's a first time filmmaker experience that we had the liberty of sitting on the edit, and really every single time we finish an edit, show it to an audience and get the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole storyline, it's too convoluted. It's too much. If it was a series, 8 episodes, it would have worked.
Mm.
As a 90-minuter, I think we need to be focused on like maybe 2 storylines. That's it. So it's a learning process that we kind of like, okay, this is great that we have this chance to kind of like really fix the edit when we needed to, and even reshoot some stuff and present a film that we're really happy with.
Yeah, that is concise in its story. Mm. So we didn't want to confuse people with many elements. So whatever that is presented on screen that you will see on the 26th of September is actually very concise, very comprehensive. And I feel that the story is pretty understandable. Like, it's not confusing.
Yeah, but on that note, just on that storyline, the kind of feedback that I've gotten is that people kind of expected it, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, they think, oh, it's you know, predictable, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And when it didn't, they did get a bit bummed, like, oh, I know, I thought it was going to be something. But if there was, I think it would change the dynamics of their working relationship.
I mean, as it was, I wanted to punch Rizal in the face throughout the movie, almost. I was like, come on, man, get over it. Work together.
Yeah. So his kindness to her is just because he's a good guy.
Yeah, you know, he's a good guy. Yeah. It works that way.
So on that, me and Ian, when we walked out of it, we couldn't stop talking about it. We were just, how could you leave it like that? What was the choice there to leave it, for anyone who is going to watch it? It leaves you on such a great cliffhanger, and this just cuts to black and cuts to credits, and it's really good. It leaves you guessing. And
that's why it's called Motif.
Yeah. And was that something you wanted going in, or was that an editing thing at the end?
Oh my God. This is my first feature, but I have made shorts before, and like open endings are my favorite. I'm sorry, that's just a personal choice. Even from the script, it had always been like that, and we took so long with the script. I don't know, like maybe 50 drafts.
Wow,
no joke. No joke, 50 drafts, and then even after we shot everything, we were still rewriting stuff. So yeah, that ending is very, very deliberate.
Oh, and did you shoot in Tanamera itself?
Oh, Tanah Merah, I mean, it's a fictional town.
Everybody's getting pissed with us.
So, yeah, I mean, this film was shot all over the place. So we were in KL for the police station, we were in Nilai, we were in Genting Highland for the house, we were in KKB, we were in Fraser Hill, we were in Hulu Langat. It was shot pretty much around the perimeter of Klang Valley.
Gotcha.
So it's a setting that was built by Nadia, this world that she created, and we call it Tanah Merah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Tanah Merah. But it's so interesting because I just learned like a week ago, Tanah Merah, there's a lot of Tanah Merahs in Malaysia. There's one in Kelantan, there's one in Melaka.
That's the famous one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but there's an interesting story. Like people call Tanah Merah because it's where something tragic and bloody happened.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's like the Malaysian version of Springfield. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twin
Peaks. Oh, yes.
So where did you shoot that lovely scene of them looking out over the mist from the hill and the morning room?
Oh, that's KKB.
That was KKB.
Yeah, that's where pretty much every single car commercial was shot.
Yeah. So we do commercials. That's our day job.
Yeah.
Like, so they're like, oh, are you going to shoot in KKB? Like, yeah, you shot car commercials, but not a movie there. I was like, let's shoot there.
Yeah. But it was magical because like KKB, it changes day to day.
Yeah.
There was one drone shot in the film that was like the sunrise, and that was done during the recce. We thought, we shot it with a small drone.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and shoot it during shoot proper. We can never get the same sunrise, the same place. So we used that shot. And that shot of them looking over the dam, that was a rehearsal take.
Yeah.
And the moment we got for the actual take, it was fully like clouded. The mist was covering the whole scene.
Yeah, you couldn't see anything.
Nothing.
It is. The weather can be a huge problem here. Just like you can never know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You see the cloud, and that's real. That's the mist. That was real.
Yeah, it wasn't the haze.
It wasn't that. No, because we were watching it last week and thinking like, wow, it's so timely with all this haze and smoke. But I guess that comes from the Nordic influences as well. Yeah. It's that whole lot of mist.
So you brought up Jupiter earlier before. The trailer for this little sneak peek thing on the Wayang Waterworks, it looks incredible. It gives me great, like, incredible spacey vibes that, I mean, you have an opening shot with the reporter, or the lecturer, I guess, and it makes me think of Arrival straight away. Can we see that soon?
No, I
want it.
And I mean, we made that before Arrival, and then when we watch Arrival, that's Jupiter. That's
no. What you're like, oh my God, they stole our idea. Those Hollywood people, damn them.
No, I mean, it would have cost as much as Arrival would have cost. Yeah. And there's no way we can get that amount of audience here.
It looks so great. It's just I think it's something that we don't have yet in Malaysia. And I think it's the perfect setting for it. Like, look how crazy the haze looks. We could totally do a space thing right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then I think we and at this point in time, we love all this conspiracy theory and all these things that are going on. And I think Jupiter would have fit well.
Yeah, it is, because we have had an awful lot of Malaysian movies this last week. But like, I think there's no sci-fi coming out. That we need some Malaysian sci-fi to kick things off.
No. I think the thing is, sci-fi needs to be done well, and it's got to look big, otherwise it's not believable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to have that landscape, that you got to see the universe the way it should be, how it is in Hollywood, because otherwise it will take you away from the, and then you feel like it's like a pretentious film. So yeah, if we ever do Jupiter, it will be done well.
So the movie's at the 26th of September, best of luck with it. What... obviously, you'd be waiting on to see how it does. But what have any projects, any other projects, new projects you have lined up for later on?
We have been in the writing process of a horror script.
Mm.
It's going to be called The Company You Keep. Because we can't just be sitting on one project. So we thought maybe we'll just start another. So that's the next one in the lineup for us. Yeah.
And have you got some producing credits coming up?
No, we'll wait for them.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Best of luck with the movie.
Thank you so much.
You just heard Ian and Julian speaking with Nadia Hamza, Muhammad Bahir, and Farah Al-Amin about their new film, Motif. Up next, we are going to be hearing what Ian and Julian actually thought of the film. So keep it here on Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian and Julian. Earlier, Ian and Julian were speaking to the director, Nadia Hamza, and producers, Muhammad Bahir and Farah Al-Amin, all about the new film, Motif. So now we're going to actually get into it. What is Motif about? What did you guys think?
Well, from the off, this movie kind of just grabs you and doesn't let go for a while.
Yeah, you're thrown in straight away. And yeah. I love that about it.
I mean, I got some interchange vibes from the beginning. And I think Dane Side was sitting somewhere behind us because you're in an abandoned hotel with vines. And you're thinking like, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially a girl gets like knocked out on the head and you don't know who did it. And this cop, played by Sharifa Mani, is coming from the big city down to...
Tanamera.
She's going to investigate and find out what's going on. And it just moves at a great pace with that. You've seen the mystery. You don't know whether the girl is alive or dead. Instantly, the local guy, Rizal, is just like, the local cops are not helpful. She starts doing her own investigation because she wants to see for herself the reactions people have, which is, you know, it's good detective work. Whereas the local detective is like, oh no, my uncle could never have done this.
Mm-hmm. And the family involved, it just happens to be the richest family in the...
In Tanamera.
Yeah. So, you know... Where's that money coming from? Who are we? What are the ties here? How are they involved? Don't get involved because they're the richest family. Don't play because, you know, we've got ties here. Don't mess with us. Yeah. We are a small town, an outsider coming in. We don't like any of that. It's a great detective story.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good episode, a long episode of TV detective drama. I've never seen True Detective. I haven't seen Mindhunter, but the trailer of Mindhunter gave me what this entire film delivered. And it's that suspense. It's trying to figure it out in your head. It's very well paced, but it also gives you the time to figure it out in your head.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it has a nice small cast. So you know that like, okay, we've had a look at, there's a couple of people here. There's some people that we have a bit, we know are a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
There's others that are reacting in ways we don't know why. Are they reacting that way because they're involved in the crime or is it they got something else to hide? It also comes across, I got a lot of Twin Peaks vibes off this, but not the supernatural side of it. There's an awful lot of drone shots of cars driving through the woods.
The David Lynch Mindhunter vibes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a claustrophobic feel at all? Because I think that one of the best things about doing the detective goes to small town, very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Secluded small town or a small town that has, where everybody knows everybody. The best parts of those kinds of stories is when the detective finds it impenetrable or like nobody wants to talk to them or nobody trusts them because, oh, you're not from here. And that ends up having, especially with a small cast, I think you end up having that feel. Mm-hmm. Does it have that or am I reading this wrong?
I think it does. I think especially with Sharifa Amani being this Detective Dewi, the way that she... I guess coming into this unfamiliar environment where they are very, not very hostile, but they are subtly hostile. It's a lot of microaggressions towards her being an outsider, and she plays this extremely well. You get that feeling of claustrophobia, I think, in the police office where she's very uninvited. Mm. Places like the victim's family's home where you know that they don't want her there. And I think it's just, it adds the suspense, especially in the way that... the dialogue between them is great. You can feel how, I guess, the limits that they've put in front of her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's not getting any help from the chief of police there. And you barely see him. And I didn't get claustrophobia. I got isolation because she ends up staying in a very, shall we say, not the opposite of salubrious hotel.
Yeah.
That is like very clearly something going on there as well. But you're not really given... Half the movie I was wondering, why is this way? Mm-hmm. We're not giving any link to this, but it ties up later. And it's more just that isolation. She's constantly, again, the Twin Peaks thing. Agent Del Cooper was constantly talking to his phone recorder, you know, making messages for Diane. She's on the phone to her significant other, which you find out more about as the show progresses. There's a thing of slowly earning the trust of the locals. Although Mustaqim Mohammed Zaki plays Rizal, and I wanted to punch him in the face for the entire movie because he's not just like, you know, cold, distant cop, you know, seeing the big city slicker coming to town. He's actively hostile for like way longer in this movie than he should be.
And he plays it perfectly. You kind of hate him, but you can tell that he's an authority figure, but you don't know which pockets his hands are in.
He has a photo on his desk with the main suspect.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you expect that relationship to warm a bit. And I think it did go on a little too long because it's like, will you just work together and do good detective work and just stop coming up with, oh, of course that person couldn't do this. Of course they couldn't. That would never happen. Pfft, what are you doing? As opposed to just like, doing good detective work.
Yeah, but even then, I think it does lend to a very small town Malaysia feel of a detective story.
It is an unusual setting for that. I don't know we get that many in that area, right?
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen one, but I think it's a great setting for one. It doesn't feel too small. You know where the police station is, you know where the house is, you know where the mamang is.
You know where the bungalow is.
You know where the bungalow
is. The mamang is pretty cool as well because it's just like it kind of rotates around that, although no one ever seems to drink or eat anything they buy there.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick up on something you said earlier, Julian. You were like, this is like a cinematic version of a television detective show or like a TV procedural. Is it cinematic or does it have that TV procedural quality?
I think it's got both because you have the shots in there that make it very, very cinematic. We talked about before the Twin Peaks
shots,
thing.
Aerial shots.
You get great views of just Malaysian countryside. It's
the
beautiful.
Jogging scene.
The jogging scene's beautiful.
She goes for a jog in the morning and they're on a hill and they're just over the mist. And it's a great shot. And it's worth pointing out, this is a week after we did our Malaysian film movies week. And it's completely different to everything we saw last week. Yeah. And it's in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all so very different and they're all so enjoyable in different ways and not mimicking the same kind of, like, this is Malaysia, it has to look this way.
Mm-hmm. But that TV element comes in when, I guess, the TV detective procedural element, which is, I mean TV in the best way, because TV, I think, detective stories on TV are the most digestible, most well-paced detective stories because they have to develop a plot and resolve it in a very short amount of time. And because of that, I think that's a strength that the movie has. And the way that it matches that with very cinematic elements is really great.
Yeah, there's good detective work. You never feel like, oh, there's a leap.
Yeah.
Although I think we should get into, there are some slight weaknesses that are problems I have with the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was an editing thing or a budget thing. There's a kind of an assault that happens at one point. And I know they're trying to hide the perpetrator because obviously you want to prolong the mystery, but I think I was a bit lost on what was going on there.
Yeah, I was as well. I didn't fault it just because you see the product of it at the end.
Mm. But it seemed to be a bigger deal to Sharif Amani's character than the audience knew. So we're kind of left a little bit guessing there. I'm not 100% sure where that was.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I only realized this morning, thinking about this, the film's called Motive. We figure out who done it, but I don't think it was quite clear why.
Go watch it and find out, and then if you figure it out, tell
us.
Yeah, because we are a bit, in that way, it's the best kind of detective story because you are left guessing.
Because it has a mic drop moment where it's like, I wasn't mad that we were losing the plot. Like we were, there was a multiple suspects. You're following what's going on, and then there's an aha moment. What? Check this out. And I was like, okay, perfect. And then it's like, wait, why?
Mm-hmm. It's great entertainment that leaves you wanting more, I think.
And on that note, you just heard them review Motif. Are you planning to watch this? You know, let us know when you've seen it, what you think. Let us know whether you figure out all the things that they didn't manage to figure out. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY and write us at movies@bfm.my.